Raise your hand if you would say that you're a humble person. All right, you're paying attention. Just wanted to see what would happen, right? Humility is not something that we can claim about ourselves, because if we do, it kind of defeats the purpose, right, of it. It's the kind of thing where somebody else could say it about us, or they could maybe end up saying it to us, but we probably wouldn't say it about ourselves. Humility is mentioned in our verse for our current series, and that comes out of Colossians 3, verse 12, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And so we said that out of that, we get this list. We should be compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, and patient. We did those first two. So here's where we are this week. We should be humble. That's what we're going to be thinking about. So this marks the midpoint in this brief series of what we should be. More important that than if we think we're humble or if somebody else thinks that we're humble is whether God thinks that we're humble. And Scripture presents us with lessons about humility. So we're just going to dive right in and get to the Old Testament lessons. That's where we will start. The general lesson coming out of the Old Testament that I see when it comes to humility is this: God blesses humility. So what are some of the ways that God blesses the person who is humble? We'll have quite a few verses as we go through these today. What are some of the ways that God blesses the person who is humble? Referring to the Lord, Psalm 25, verse 9 says, He, God, leads the humble in justice, and He teaches the humble His way. By the way, for those that are newer to the congregation, if I don't have, after the verses, if I don't have parentheses, you know, citing the version, that means that that Bible quote is coming from our Pew Bible, the New American Standard, the 2020 version. It's also the Bible that I happen to preach from. Okay, so you have the words injustice there. That could be understood in some different ways. I think that the simple English God's Word translation gets the sense of it right when they say, He leads humble people to do what is right, and He teaches them His way. So what is one way that God blesses humility? The verse says that He leads humble people to do what is right. And of course, that means what is right according to Him, according to His standard. And what Christian would not want to do what is right? For the humble, God leads them to do what is right. And this can help us understand what we saw earlier in the year, back at the end of March. It was when we looked at Galatians 5, verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let's follow the Spirit as well. And so we said that that meant keeping in step with the Holy Spirit's lead. One of the ways that the Holy Spirit leads those in Christ is to lead them to do what is right, and that's especially true for those that are humble. The second part of that verse is an additional blessing for the humble. God teaches them His way. I think that has to do with God teaching us how to live from day to day. I think it also means the road that leads to Him, the road that leads to eternal life, is the road that leads to Him. So the proud person would say, I'll go my own way, thanks. The humble person receives God's teaching on the way to go. And because God knows us through and through, He knows us better than we know ourselves, He knows that those who are humble will actually benefit from being taught His way. The other blessings of God for the humble that I want to share come from the book of Proverbs. So here's one. Pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. It's Proverbs 11:2 in the New Living Translation. So wisdom, and by the way, Proverbs is where we're going next in the new year. That's the next Old Testament book that we go into, and the new year is going to be in Proverbs. I'll repeat this again, but wisdom is essentially the application. Wisdom is the putting into action of God's truth. So in God's eyes, wisdom is always meant to be practical, helps us with decision-making in our day-to-day lives. With humility comes wisdom. In other words, God will reward those who are humble by giving them wisdom. So the proud think they know the answers. Proud believers don't lean on God in order to make decisions. But all we have to do is think of our track records when it comes to making decisions. Think of the times that you and I have thought to ourselves, oh, I should have made a better decision. And I think all of us have been there with that. Often we pray for wisdom, did it even this morning. This verse assures us that wisdom will accompany humility. So I think that God leading the humble to do what's right, teaching them his way, giving them wisdom, all those things speak of a closer relationship with God. And I think that it's pretty fair to say that humble Christians will feel and experience a closer relationship, a closer walk with God. Proverbs 22, verse 4 connects humility with fear of the Lord. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. That's 22:4 in the English Standard Version. So the fear of the Lord is a kind of awe and respect that comes from recognizing how powerful and great God is. Those with humility have a much easier time with the fear of the Lord. There's a great compatibility, we could say, with being humble and respecting God's greatness. So when then those two things combine, the Lord rewards that with riches and honor and life. Now, I do think that it's often going to be that's going to be true in this life, but this verse is especially true in an eternal sense. God will reward personal humility and fear of the Lord with eternal riches, eternal honor, and eternal life. Coming to Christ is a great thing, but if repentance is at all involved when a person comes to Christ, it is also a humbling thing. Would you agree with that? Okay. Coming to Christ really is a humbling thing. In my case, I was age 16. I came to see that there was a hole in my soul. It was a hole that only God could fill. And so when we see a need for Christ in our lives, that's like, by definition, that's automatically humbling ourselves before him. So God rewards our humility. And while he often will reward it in this life, that's going to pale in comparison to what lies ahead for those who have faith in Christ and are humble. We may experience life, we may experience riches, we may experience honor now, but even more so in the future that awaits us in Christ. I want to give one last verse in Proverbs that mentions the humble. And this is speaking of a general, but it's also an amazing blessing of God for humility. Proverbs 3:34, this is going to be in the Christian Standard Bible. Again, this is referring to the Lord. And it says, he mocks those who mock, but gives grace to the humble. So kind of keep that verse in mind. We're going to see it again a little bit later in a slightly different version. For that first part where it talks about those who mock, when it's saying those who mock, it's talking about those who are prideful. And that's made clear later in the book of Proverbs. So here's Proverbs 21, verse 24, also in the Christian Standard Bible. The arrogant and proud person named mocker acts with excessive arrogance. So in Proverbs 3:34 is talking about God treating mockers like mockers treat others. What stands behind that mocking of theirs is pride and arrogance. But the second half of that verse is really where the blessing is coming from that we're talking about, simply that God gives grace to the humble. Now we could point to examples where anyone and everyone benefits from God's undeserved grace, right? There's a grace that he pours out on no matter who you are in life. He just gives things in grace because it is who he is. He's a giving God. And so that's why he gives in grace. But for those who show humility, God gives even more grace. How often would we say that we're desperate, you know, for God to show his grace to us? And I would think that there are some of us who ask for God to show his grace, his mercy to us on a regular basis. So the principle here is that God gives special grace to the humble. So the Old Testament has lots of lessons for us to learn on humility, but the overall lesson that we're just kind of accenting here, the overall lesson I see is this general idea that God blesses humility. So now we're going to take a look at some New Testament lessons. First, let's go ahead and lay down some foundational ideas from the New Testament. For example, one that we would say is that Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, modeled humility for us. I'm specifically taking that from Philippians chapter 2. So here's verse 8 in the English Standard Version. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And this is coming after verse 7, where Paul describes Jesus as emptying himself by being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, says that next verse, he humbled himself, I would say, and he humbled himself even further, by becoming obedient to the point of a painful, disgraceful death on a cross. So part of the amazing truths coming out of this verse is that Christ modeled humility for us. And I think we know that for sure, that he was modeling it for us because of what it said a couple verses earlier, verse 5. Verse 5 actually says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus. So he modeled humility. We are also to be humble. And then the other foundational verse that kind of then confirms that is the New Testament's basic exhortation on humility. It comes through the Apostle Paul. Be completely humble and gentle. It's coming from Ephesians 4:2, and that's the wording in the New International Version. So the overall exhortation there in that chapter is for us to walk in a way that is worthy, in a manner that is worthy of God's calling, which means, you know, live day by day, each day, in a manner worthy of his calling. And then Paul specifies how to do that, part of which is being completely humble and gentle. So those are the foundational ideas in the New Testament when it comes to humility. Christ modeled humility for us, so we are to have a like attitude, and we are to live day by day being completely humble and gentle. But the New Testament is also helpful because it shows us some particulars of what humility looks like. So we're going to go ahead and take a look at three of those, three particulars of what humility looks like. We're going to start with Jesus' words in Matthew 18, verse 4. I'm going to show you Matthew 18, verse 4 in the International Children's Bible. And that's on purpose because sometimes a wording of a well-known verse, but in a different way, it kind of helps us to look at that verse in a little bit of a new way. So Jesus says, the greatest person in the kingdom of heaven is the one who makes himself humble, like this child. That's a well-known verse, and you know, we might end up wondering, okay, how do I make myself like this child? In what sense am I to make myself like this child? And I think the answer is in the context, although it is subtle, okay? And this is true of Scripture sometimes. The answer is there in the context, but it could be subtle. So I'm just going to go ahead and read to you. I won't actually put it up on the slide, but this is how the first part of that chapter starts out. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he, Jesus, called a child to himself and set him among them. And after that comes the teaching. Whoever makes himself humble like this child. Well, what did the child do? Do you ever think about that? What is it that the child did? How had the child humbled himself? I think the answer was he was responsive to Jesus. Simple as that. So he asked the child to come over. Child came over. He allowed himself to be used to illustrate something by Jesus. So I believe that humble like this child really means responsive to me like this child. Humility before the Lord is responsiveness to the Lord. He asks us to do something. could be asking us in his word, could be asking us by speaking to our spirit, and we respond by doing it. That shows humility. What else does humility look like? Take a look at what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 12, verse 16. This is in the NIV. Do not be proud, says Paul, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Be willing to associate with people of low position. More traditional wording, if you're aware of this verse, or if you have a Bible that has a more traditional wording, it's be willing to associate with the lowly, it would say. And I notice that Bibles then take that lowliness really in kind of two directions. There's one direction where they take lowly to mean hang out with those that are humble. But more Bibles take it to mean to be with those, be willing to be with those of a lower position or a lower status. And that makes more sense to me because I think it's the harder thing for most people to do. Most cultures have a ladder of success that they have for people to climb. Okay, if you look at different cultures, it's not just when we think about India, you think about the caste system and how they have a ladder, right? Almost all societies and cultures have a ladder of some kind. It may look different. In fact, I was reading just this morning, of how the governor of California did not sign into law that there was a law they were trying to pass that you couldn't discriminate people in the U.S. based on their caste. And he basically said this is already covered by provisions in our law. So it was people from Asia that still bring with them their way of looking at life, and they can discriminate based on that. So whether it's imported from elsewhere or whether it's natively American, we would say, most cultures have this idea of a ladder of success. And so you can think of that as the number of rungs can vary. When we were preparing for our missionary ministry in Latin America, we were told that they also have a certain ladder, a certain caste system of a kind. Latinos are very relational. The idea was that part of their making relationships with you is if they think that you can improve them, even just a little rung on that ladder. And we do the same thing here with business, right? What kind of relationships can we form so that we can succeed more? So a lot of cultures have this idea of going up the ladder. So think of that then when we're thinking of this verse. Some people have a ministry to the poor. Some people have a ministry to the rich. Both are equally in need of Christ. But if we're willing to spend time with those that we consider to be less than us, and you can think of that in all sorts of ways, in whatever way you want to measure that less of us, that's living out humility. One more also from Paul, back to Philippians chapter 2. This time it's going to be verse 3 in the Christian Standard Bible. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Considering others as more important than ourselves is a way for us to actively practice humility. I remember telling the congregation years ago, I forget how many years ago this was, but I remember telling the congregation years ago that sometimes when I'm in Walmart or really any place where there are all different kinds of people, that as I'm passing different people, I'll say to myself, I'm no better than them. Okay? I'll say it in my head. I don't say it out loud. And I remember hearing later a little side conversation of how someone understood what I was saying. They said, Pastor does that because he has a pride problem. That wasn't the case. I wasn't saying that to myself because I have a pride problem. I do that as preventative medicine to keep myself from developing a pride problem. And this is talking about on a level of salvation, everybody needing God's help, everybody needing salvation, I'm no better than anybody else. There are all sorts of ways that we can practice this idea of having people be more than important than ourselves. I think a major one that we can really latch on to is Ephesians 5:21. The dreaded Ephesians 5:21, subjecting ourselves, submitting ourselves to one another in fear of Christ. Again, on purpose with a different wording, here's the God's Word translation of Ephesians 5:21. Place yourselves under each other's authority out of respect for Christ. So the deaconesses, let's say that they're preparing a big meal for the church. We all head back to Fellowship Hall. Do I suddenly take that over? After all, I am pastor. Right? No. No, I submit myself to their authority of saying when things are to happen, how they're to happen in that situation. Being willing to submit ourselves to others in various situations is a part of considering them more important than ourselves, and that is a way to live out humility. We're going to end by looking at what the New Testament shows God does in response to our humility, but before that, really quickly, I want you to take a look at Colossians 2:18. This is in the International Children's Bible. Paul says there, some enjoy acting as if they were humble and love to worship angels. They are always talking about the visions that they have seen. Do not let them tell you that you are wrong. I'm just pointing out this verse to say there is such a thing as a false humility. And most of us can recognize this. If somebody is practicing a false humility, oh, look at how humble I am. Listen to my spiritual advice. Let me tell you about the things that I have experienced with God. Right? We can usually pick up on that. And we don't want to fall into this false humility, this bad way of thinking. Okay, we're going to zip through some final verses here on God's response to our humility. The reason I'm going to zip through them is because they basically reiterate the same thing, the same idea. But repetition, either in a passage or in the Bible, repetition is God helping us to see that something is important. We start with James 4:6. This is in the Christian Standard Bible. And he, God, gives grace generously, as the scriptures say, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. What James is doing here is that he's actually quoting what we saw before, Proverbs 3:34, you know, where it talked about mocking, but he's quoting it from the Septuagint, which was the scriptures that most Christians used in that first century, the time of Jesus, the time of the apostles, that Old Testament translated into Greek. So that is the sense of the idea. So this is the way that we can tie together what God's response is in the Old Testament to God's response in the New Testament by saying his general response is to give grace to the humble. And we talked about that a little bit before. And then we have these words from Jesus, and this is found in the God's Word translation of Luke 14, verse 11. Jesus says, those who honor themselves will be humbled. But people who humble themselves will be honored. Again, this is like a classic, well-known verse. A little bit of a different wording for impact. The classic wording is, who exalt themselves. We have many people nowadays who honor themselves. Many people who honor themselves. They talk themselves up. They say, how great they are. It's particularly, I notice it, a really bad problem in sports that they figure in order to get a better salary or something, they have to talk about how great they are. But it's not just in sports. But nowadays, there are many, many people who honor themselves. But people who humble themselves will be honored. And that idea, what's really behind that, is made more explicit back in James chapter 4, but this time with verse 10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. It's in the New Living Translation of that verse. So who's going to honor us when we show humility? Ultimately, it's the Lord. And we have just one more to show, 1 Peter 5:6. This is also in the same Bible version. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. We're used to seeing under his mighty hand, and so they make that clear here by saying under his power. Under his power, in other words, recognizing his sovereignty, recognizing his power, we humble ourselves. And then when's that time going to be? When's the right time going to be that he's going to honor us and lift us up? It may come in this life. If not, it will definitely come in the life to come if we humble ourselves. Where we're ending up this morning is leading to our main thought, which is this. Of the many great lessons in Scripture on humility, the one repeated most is that God will honor those who humble themselves. We've gone through it quickly, but there have been a lot of practical things this morning that can help us in terms of living out humility. So just give a few more thoughts on that before we close. In general, we said that God blesses humility. He gives special grace to those who are humble. And I can understand if somebody in listening to that they would say, but should we be humble in order to receive that blessing? Should we be humble in order to receive God's grace? And to that we would say, of course, it's out of our love for God. That should be our main motivation for doing anything. It should be, if we're going to be humble, if we're going to live a humble life, of course it should be out of our love for God. But on the other hand, and you may want to think about this and do some Bible searching on it, I would say that Scripture shows that what in the last century has become known as positive reinforcement and negative reinforcement, I would say that those things are in Scripture. Right, that was discovering something that is true about life that God has put into life. It's not that they invented that idea. So as our Creator, God knows that we respond to both positive reinforcement and negative reinforcement. Positive reinforcement is a reward for doing something. Negative reinforcement is the no, right, the hand slap or whatever it may be. God knows that both of those things work, and you can look in Scripture very easily, even just with the case of Israel as a nation. If you do these things and obey, I will. If you do not, I will, right? Both of those things are there. So I think it's actually legitimate to keep in the back of our minds that if we live a life of humility, that God is going to bless us. But also remember that if we're blessed, God's doing that so that we would be a blessing to others. True? Okay, this is the idea of not being blessing sponges. I just want to soak up all those blessings from God. It's being the blessing funnel that God will pour his blessing through you. We have this general exhortation, and it is to be completely humble. To be completely humble in all situations, in a well-rounded way. So one of the things that we can ask ourselves this morning is, do I have a tougher time with that in certain environments? Do I have a tougher time with humility when I'm at work? Do I have a tougher time with humility when I am at home, when I'm out in public? If we can be sensitive to that, if we can notice that, then let's lean on God and ask for his help in that area. Say, Lord, I see that I'm having this problem more in this situation, in this environment. Please help me. Right? Because leaning on him is demonstrating humility to him. We also talked about this idea that humility with regards to Jesus and his words, it was responsiveness. So another way that we can look at ourselves is to say, how is my responsiveness to the Lord versus my resistance to the Lord? Am I responsive in certain areas of my life, but I'm pretty resistant, digging my heels in other areas of my life? And again, if we see that that's the case, then call out to him for help. Lean on him purposely for help, because that is a humble response. The other thing where my thoughts went with this toward the end was the dreaded S word. Submission, subjection, that many people would balk at that. I'll still always remember that when I did a wedding back in Minnesota, the passage that the couple requested, I didn't put on them, that the couple requested was from Ephesians 5, and Saul talked about the wife submitting to the husband and how there were a couple of women that were, much more enlightened, that they were snickering and making fun of that while I was preaching that message to the couple. I'm like, yeah, right. Okay, so there are a lot of people, and it doesn't have to just do with marriages, but in general, They don't like the idea of submission. They don't like the idea of suggestion. I liked the way that the God's Word translation worded it. Recognize the authority that's there and then be willing to place yourself under it. And I'll make a statement that maybe you may not like, but if we have a problem with authority, we have a problem with humility. Lots to think about this morning in this look at how we should be. We should be humble. We need to pray these things through. Let's go ahead and start that time of prayer now. Father, this if there is something that cuts against our culture, I think humility is one of them right now. The boastful presentation of self, the boastful placing of myself over somebody else is really rampant right now in our culture. And you want us to be countercultural with regards to that. You want us to be brave enough to be countercultural to that. And so I pray, Father God, that you would help each of us in this area, that if there are certain behaviors where we are not showing humility, where we're not showing responsiveness to you, but we're proudly wanting to go our own way, make our own decisions, Father, we need your help. Many of us recognize that we want to come to you, and I pray, Father, that we turn it into a regular, everyday thing of yielding ourselves to you and humbling ourselves before you. And it's not just when it comes to the crisis moment or the really big decisions. We pray, Father, that in all ways we would be completely humble and gentle. And we pray, Father God, that again, as we have talked about with these other characteristics from Colossians 3:12, that these would be things that would distinguish us from the way that the world is going right now. And we pray for revival, and maybe some of the areas that we need to be revived in as those that are sons and daughters are the very things we're talking about out of Colossians 3:12. And so we pray, Father God, in humility, looking to you, acknowledging that we have weaknesses, that in a moment our pride can be inflamed, that you forgive us for those moments, Lord, that you have mercy on us again and continue to show how great you are by transforming us, even in this area. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.